even standing in the gap and taking up the hedge. I believe the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous person availeth much. I believe what the Word of God says concerning prayer. Jesus taught us to always pray and not faint. We were taught by Christ how to pray. He gave us a model to use when we pray. We have a lot of instruction concerning prayer. There's been immediate response to prayer and fasting in the Scriptures. And Daniel, you know, there was an angel that was dispatched. The instant he hit his knees and began to pray, that angel came and revealed great truths of prophecy into him. Prayer works. We've got evidence, not just in the Bible, but in our own lives. We have evidence that prayer works. I'm thankful for those that have prayed for me, and I always covet an interest in your prayers, and I can usually sense when you're praying for me and when you're not. So just pray a little harder for me this morning. I always need your prayers. So let's reverence the Lord. Ask Him to bless us today and bless this this service. Something on your heart before we pray. Very familiar chapter in the Bible. Very familiar story. This is about David and Goliath. A well-known story that's referenced on numerous occasions. Many sportscasters will reference this account, especially when Boston goes up against New York. But anyway, we want to look at this story this morning because it's a very, not only because it's a very popular story, but because it has some very practical solutions for everyday problems of life. Many of these stories of the Old Testament, we can relate to. We can relate to giants in our lives. Oh, they may not be 9-foot or 12-foot giants, physical giants, but everybody has a Goliath from Gath. Just like everybody has a Jericho, everybody has a giant from Gath. And we need to be victorious in our Christian living and be giant slayers. We don't need to be like Saul and his army, fearful and afraid. We have Christ with us. You do believe that you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you, don't you? That's what the Bible teaches. That's what we've experienced. Now, there are some practical lessons that I want us to look at in this reading lesson. We probably on average all are about 5'9". And we see that Goliath was about 9'9". We are in a world filled with people that are 5'9", which is the average size of a man, maybe 5'6" of a woman. And so this message this morning is going to be entitled Surviving in a 9'9" World When You're Only 5'9". Gigantic problems. Now there are solutions for these problems. The solution is very simple. It's not difficult nor hard. Even a young shepherd boy, a youth of a lad, can know how to experience victory. Because he had relationships, he had a relationship with God, he knew about the power of God and the Word of God. So let's read a few of these verses and read about this victory, this great victory that David had over Goliath. I'll begin reading in verse 42. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was a youth and ruddy and of fair complexion. Some people believe he was redheaded and light-complected. A very young man, a teenager probably, undoubtedly a teenager, not of age to go off to war as his brothers were. And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Now that's important to note. And the Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword, with a spear, with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord, everybody say, will the Lord. Will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee. I will give thy carcass to the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all the assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hastened and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and a sling and slang it and smote the Philistine in the forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in David's hand. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. That's reading from the 17th chapter of God's holy word of 1 Samuel. Well, how do we survive being 5'9" in a 9-foot world? One of the most iconic stories of the Old Testament, I think, can help us understand what we need to do in facing our own personal giants. The giant of Gath. Now, there have been a lot of sermons preached from these verses of Scripture. I preached from on this before in the past. I was talking to my son yesterday about what we're going to preach today. He said, "Oh, you've got a fun one." Well, I don't know if it's a fun one or not. I know most of us probably have learned this story in Sunday school. We're very familiar with it. Our children are very familiar with it. The world, the whole world is pretty much familiar with David and Goliath. And there's been many sermons surmising what David represented, what Goliath represented. If you read a little earlier, it talks about the size of his armor and his sword and his shield. And because the number of six is used, some have said, well, he's the Antichrist. Goliath represents the Antichrist. Some have preached that Goliath represents the serpent because he had a scaled armor and a breastplate. Some have said that David, he was the anointed one and already been anointed the king, that he represents Christ. Some have said that the five smooth stones, you know, represent grace and mercy and peace and reconciliation and goodness and forgiveness. Whoops, that's more than five. Some have said the five smooth stones represent Calvinism. Everybody knows it represents Calvinism, one man said. There's all these different connections and allegorical sermons that have been preached concerning the story of David and Goliath. But the primary story represents courage. Folks, we need courage. We need great courage in fighting the battles that are before us. We're engaged in a spiritual warfare. And we need to have courage as the people of God. Now, every generation has their Goliaths. Every generation has their Goliaths. There are a lot of issues that face us as a generation. There are theological concerns and issues. There are moral concerns and issues that face us. Every society and every generation has their own Goliaths. We might even think that some churches or every church will have a Goliath. At some time, someplace, somewhere, there will be a Goliath, something large or big that they'll have to handle. Folks, the only way we can face our Goliath is with faith. David had faith in God. Faith and confidence in the former experiences that he had with God. He knew that God was able. He believed in the promises of God and the power of God. And people, there's a day coming when the younger generation, they're going to have to hunker down. And they're going to have faith in the promises of God and the power of God. I don't know what the future holds, but I know we live in perilous times. Perilous times. And we need courage. You might say, well, preacher, didn't you talk about courage last week? Well, I did. I'm going to talk about it again. I'll have to talk about it again. There's not only generational giants, there's not only Goliaths of Gath that the church faces from time to time concerning theological and moral issues, but we have personal giants in our lives that we need to overcome and we need to conquer. Now, this champion of the Philistines stood in a valley. The Israelites stood on one hill and the Philistines stood on the other. The Philistines had invaded the territory of Israel. They were occupying the territory of Judah. This was territory owned by Judah. Now, it had already been prophesied of and declared in the book of Genesis, Genesis 49 and 10, that there was going to be one that would come with a scepter out of Judah. It was prophesied of that the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that would save the world, would come through the tribe of Judah. And this giant, this 10 foot, 11 foot, they're not even sure, he may have been 12 foot, this huge giant that had 127 pound breastplate on was standing on the territory of God. And folks, listen to me. When some enemy affronts the territory of the people of God, and the enemy is trying to destroy the work of God, God's people can stand assured that God will be on their side. We have nothing to fear. If God be for us, what or who can be against us? There's nothing that we cannot overcome with the presence and the power of God. Nothing that we can't overcome. He was in the valley, in the territory of Judah. And the tribe of Judah, their very lives were being threatened. That's why Jesse's sons were in the battle with Saul. That's why Jesse's sons, David's brothers, were fighting in the battle, because their very livelihood and their very territory and their very tribal existence was at stake. David was too small to go to war. He was tending the sheep. Jesse the father sent him with some provisions to provide a meal and some food and some bread for his brethren. But when he got there, he saw this giant out there in the valley, defying the God of Israel. Folks, when the things of God are being threatened, we need to stand up. He said, is there not a cause? And folks, there is a great cause. When I think about the Lion of the tribe of Judah, who is the Lion of the tribe of Judah? Jesus Christ is the Redeemer. And listen, when you're on the Lord's side, when you're on the side of Jesus Christ, you're on the right side. And listen, no weapon can be formed against you that can harm you. One shall chase a thousand. Amen. When God is with them, there stood a giant, and it was threatening the very existence of the tribe of Judah, the line of which the Lord Jesus Christ would come to save the world from sin. David was trusting in the promises of God. And when things are threatening the promises of God and the people of God, there needs to rise up one to fight the good fight of faith. Stand in the gap and take up the hedge. I believe all of us have felt those giants at times slam dunk us in life. There are times we're like Saul and the other Israelites and we are trembling in our boots. And we're fearful and we're afraid. They were afraid of Goliath. He had gone out there and he had threatened the people of Israel and defied Jehovah God 40 days straight. 40 days straight. He had done this. Saul was probably the tallest man there. He was a head taller than all the other men of Israel, the Bible says. And he was shaken and afraid. He had challenged people to go out and fight him. Any of his army, any of the people willing to go fight. Saul was afraid. The armies of Israel were afraid. People, there are times we need to face our fears and face our foes. There are times in our life that we have fears, but we need to conquer those fears and we need to face our foes. All of us have these giants in our lives. So the answer kind of lies concerning this ancient story of a shepherd boy who challenged the Goliath of Gath. How did he do it? Well, he went in the name of the Lord. Amen? Now, there's a lot of things that come into play when this man, this young teenage boy, faces this human tank. I mean, he was a Hulk, okay? He was a giant. He was a behemoth. And David was a little teenage, ruddy boy. Now, when I think of this story, there's a lot of things that come to my mind. This is a big world. The church is relatively small, wouldn't you say, in the world? Jesus said we would be pretty much a remnant in the world. And the world has all their devices and technologies. And, you know, I think about back in that day, the Philistines, they capitalized upon the technology. They had perfected the swords and the spears. They had the technology for those things. I think the only ones that packed a sword and a spear was Saul and some of the, just a few people in Israel had that kind of weaponry. They had, the Philistines had great military weaponry. And the Philistines had their giant from Gath. You know, the people of Israel were intimidated by three things that existed in Canaan that caused them to wander around 40 days in the wilderness, just like for 40 days. This giant from Gath went out into the valley, Elihu, and defied the people of Israel. They were afraid, first of all, of the walled cities. And they also knew that over in Canaan, the people there had chariots. Their army had chariots. And the third thing they were afraid of were the giants. There were giants in the land. And they were fearful. And they wandered in the wilderness 40 years because of that fear. But of each of those things that they feared, the people of Israel had to conquer those things that threatened them. It's important for us, first of all, to identify who we are and what we stand for. David saw it this way. David saw himself as a child of God. David saw himself as part of the people of God. David saw himself as a people, a part of a people that were doing the work of God. Can we identify with that today? Can we identify as being the children of God? Can we identify as a people doing the work of God? Among the people of God, you know, we have a lot of things that threaten us. But Paul said this in 2 Timothy 2:19. Whatever the situation is, the foundation of God standeth assure, having this seal. The Lord knows those that are His. Amen? Sometimes we feel threatened. And there's been concerns. Will the church survive all of this? Will it survive the theological issues and the moral issues and the corruptions of the world? Will the church survive? And I think in Paul's day, he was affirming and confirming to the young minister Timothy that you can stand assured that the foundation of God is fixed. And God's people will survive. God is with them. In this generation of theological and moral declension, we need to be assured that we are not going to be destroyed in this moral decline. We need to realize that, the worldliness is not going to overthrow the church of the Trinity God. Now, I'm concerned about that. Can I get amen, preachers? We ought to be concerned about the worldliness in our churches. I get concerned about the worldliness of people's lives and the impact that it has, the effect that it has. We'll never be giant slayers unless we are filled with the Spirit. The only way we can live victorious lives as children of God is for the Spirit of God to be upon us, in us, working through us. We need the power of God. David had faith. He had trust in the promise of God. I believe David went out there and said, this is God's valley. This is God's territory. These are God's people. Okay? I come in the name of the Lord. I don't need a sword. I don't need a shield. The battle is not won with those things. The battle is the Lord's. Folks, we need to realize that our motive is not our own advancing, but it's the advancing of the glory of God. Advancing of the glory of God. That's where it's at, amen? I know this much about it. You have some other motive for fighting and working for the Lord other than the glory of God, and the Spirit of God will be nowhere near you. You want to be filled with the Spirit? Your motive must be right. David wasn't trying to make a name for himself. He was out there defending God. He was out there defending the work of God, the territory of God, the kingdom of God, the promises of God. He was out there defending the people of God. And we need to be the same. Let me say just a few more things. David was pretty convinced that he was going to win this battle. How was he convinced he was going to win this battle? Well, you read earlier in this chapter that he was talking to Saul and verses 33 through 37 of the 17th chapter of 1 Samuel. And he was assured that he was going to win the battle. There were some prerequisites that occurred in David's life. There were some things that had occurred, some experiences that he had had. David had courage while the others shook and quaked because he had been alone with God. And he had walked with God. And he was connected with God. And when other problems came up that were smaller, like a lion and a bear, God was with him. A few years ago, when I was a young pastor, more than a few years ago, I guess. We're getting old, Monty. Several years ago, a man came up to me. He said, "Preacher," he says, "I want to do some big things at church. I want to do some big things. I want the Lord to give me some big things to do in the cause of Jesus Christ." Folks, it don't work that way. If you're not faithful in the small things, God will not give you big things. Well, let me give you a proof text of that. Matthew 25 and 21. Matthew 25 and 21. The Lord said, "Thou good and faithful servant, thou hast been faithful over a few, I will make thee ruler over many." That's how it works. David was out there keeping sheep. He was a young shepherd boy. Thank God he didn't have a smartphone. If he had a smartphone and he would have been playing games and texting and doing all that stuff you do on smartphones, we probably would not have had the 23rd Psalm. What a tragedy. But he was spending time with the Lord. And he'd look up into heavens. And he would, by divine inspiration, give us the 19th Psalm. He would talk about the heavens declaring the glory of God and the firmament his handiwork. And he'd say, "Lo, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I have nothing to fear because thou art with me." And I know most of the time we use that at the end of a person's life, but there are many valleys of the shadow of death that we go through. Many. But I assure you that when you're walking with the Lord, you have nothing to fear. He will be with you. He had recollection. He had experiences. He had recall. See, this thing's a progression. Faith is a progression. You want the faith to take down giants? You're going to have to trust God in the small things of life and realize and experience and see His faithfulness before He'll ever give you a Jericho to take down or a giant to fall. I'll tell you what I had in my mind with this man wanted to do the big things. I thought to myself, really, if you want to do big things, you need to probably come to church a little more often. Some of the small things. Be faithful for some of the small things. You want to take down big things. Oh, I don't want to do any of the small things. I just want to go right to the big things. Folks, it doesn't work that way. David told Saul, "You know what? I know this works. Because when a bear came and a lion came, I slew them." Saul put on his armor. I put his armor on him. He said, "I can't." He took it all. "I can't. I'm not proving this. I don't know if this works or not. But what I do know is that this sling and this stone, they've worked in the past and they'll work again." Oh man, there's a sermon right there, isn't there? Churches trying on other things other than the things that we know will work. And we're doing that. God have mercy on us. Can you imagine David going out with that? You know, he was probably a little bitty boy in that big old oversized armor. You know, can you imagine him going out there? Can you imagine? No. He went out there and he knew he could be agile and he could be victorious. He knew that he could take down this giant because he had taken down other things before. God was with him in the past and God was with him now. David faced this Goliath, a 9-foot man of a tank. This gigantic man. You know, we face problems sometimes, and they're not always pretty. I believe Goliath was ugly. I really do. I don't know that to be a fact. He may have been handsome. I don't know. But I know most of the problems we have are ugly, difficult, complicated, and sometimes we try the unproven armor of Saul rather than trusting in what we know works. What worked when you had the greatest problem of your life? What worked when you were under the weight of sin? What worked when you were under condemnation? The greatest burden of that you've ever had in your life. What lifted that burden? We trusted in the Lord, didn't we? Amen? Faith. There was a triumph of faith when you were saved. That was your first experience. There needs to be more experiences than that in your Christian walk. But the power of God is released when you trust Him. We want to use other things. But David just simply binded himself to the Almighty and won the victory. And that's what you need to do. That's what I need to do. That's what this generation needs to do. That's what churches need to do. We need to just bind ourselves to the Almighty, and God will give us the victory. Life is full of dreadful woes. I contend obedience and trust, it ultimately determines the course of the battle. Now, experience told David that he could rely on God. And if you'll get some of those experiences in your life, God will, listen to me, God will show Himself faithful to you. Now, there were a lot of dissenters. His brother was a dissenter. What are you doing down here? Y'all be taking care of those sheep. You're too little. You just being nosy. No. Jesse the father sent David. I don't think anybody believed he was really going to win the victory, but David. Because David knew in his heart. You ever had something that you knew in your heart was right? That you needed to do? You needed courage to do it? Brother Jeff and I were talking Wednesday night about the courage to witness, to talk to somebody at work. Do we need more courage to be soul winners? Can I get amen? To witness of the saving grace of God? Do we need the courage to go out and battle in the schools, the heresies that are out there in science? And shouldn't we stand up and say that God is the Creator? That He created all things? We didn't evolve. We didn't come out of some muck somewhere. We didn't come out of slime. Folks, we didn't evolve from slime. We're not a series of accidents. God created us. He created the heavens and the earth and all things in it. We need to stand up for the Bible, amen? For the simple truths of Scripture. We need that kind of faith, and that kind of vision, and that kind of motive that David had, that God will give us the victory, that we need to stand up for the things of God, and we need to have the right motives. We need to be doing it not for some benefit and some blessing upon us, but for the glory of God. The Goliath of Gath was a champion. In the Hebrew, that means one that stands between two camps. You ever had something between you and what was the will of God for you? Have churches ever had a Goliath stand between them and the purpose of God for them? Have our young people ever had those kind of Goliaths between them and doing the right thing rather than the wrong thing? Maybe it was peer pressure. You know, there was a lot of ridicule. Everybody saying, you can't do it, you can't do it. Sometimes people don't like the ridicule. People made fun of. David was made fun of. But listen, he won the victory anyway. Young people, listen to me. You need to win the victory. You need to stand up for what's right. Amen? Stand for God. I assure you, I have learned from experience that when you stand for the Lord, He will stand by you. Can I get amen? Anybody else learn that? You stand with the Lord and He will stand with you. Stand up for what's right. Stand up for truth. Stand up for righteousness. Stand up for honesty. Stand up for the gospel. The gospel that saves. The way that people are saved through Jesus and Jesus only. Stand up for that. Don't back down, backpedal, or waver. There's only one way to say salvation into heaven. It's Jesus Christ. There's not 15 gods or 5 gods or 2 gods. There's one true and living God. His name is Jehovah. An infinite intelligent spirit. Amen. He is the way. He sent His only begotten Son to die on a cross to save you and give you victory. He is a vicarious Savior. The one and only. Well, I love the story. Oh, I love the story of David and Goliath. It's not just some children's story. It is a practical story. It has practical application for us. We need to be courageous and have faith. You know, one of the things about his faith is his faith was an active faith. He didn't just trust. He went out there. He ran, the Bible says. He went running after this man. The Bible says he made haste. He ran quickly. That's what that means. He ran with confidence, knowing that God was with him. Let's stand. God bless you. I appreciate you listening to me today. We have many battles. It seems like this world's going to overthrow the church. It seems like the world's going to overthrow Christians and Christian homes. Listen, not only does every church and every individual and every person, but every home, listen to me, every home has a Goliath. Every home has a Goliath from Gath. Every home. Now, some of you have young families, okay? You haven't had the Goliath thing happen yet. But I assure you, listen to me, you will. One day you will. One day you will. And I'm telling you, you can have victory when that time comes. You can have victory when that time comes. But there may be somebody, listen, you may have a personal inner giant that needs to be slain today. Maybe you need to face your fears, whatever they might be. Maybe it's unbelief. I don't know. Maybe it's unforgiveness. I don't know. Whatever it is that keeps you, that's in the valley between you and where you need to be. Whatever that is, I don't know what it is. Maybe you need to slay it today. Maybe you need to make haste. Run quickly. Take what you know works, what worked in the past when you needed salvation, and use that same thing to bring victory in your life today? Well, I don't know where you have to run to, but you're going to have to face it, amen? Whatever it is. There may be a family here, and you're dealing with a behemoth of a problem. Okay? You ever had one of those come up in your family? A behemoth of a problem. You needed help from God for a solution that you might take courage and overcome. Well, this altar's open if you need to pray. Whatever you need to do today to do that, let us sing. God bless you.